Join our conversation on Twitter at KUOW. This is The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Higher anxiety and lower stress tolerance. Those are a couple of reasons why former Google engineer James Damore believes women can't excel in tech the way men can. As you've probably heard, over the weekend, Damore wrote this 10-page so-called manifesto criticizing Google's diversity efforts. He also railed against what he sees as Google's political bias. He called the culture there an ideological echo chamber. We have a big Google office and, of course, other big tech companies here. This is relevant to us in Seattle. Google fired Damore after the memo went viral. We want to talk now to tech reporter April Glazer, who covered this story for Slate. April, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks. Great to be here.
You cover this industry. Were you surprised by the memo?
I was shocked because of what it said, but no, I was not surprised.
What about other Google employees coming out in, not all by any means, but there were some voices of support from Google workers. What did you make of that?
Sure. I mean, what that represented was that Damore, the man who wrote the memo, was actually reflecting a sentiment that many people at Google adhere to. Of course, the most of the people at Google's response to this has been negative and have thought that his comments were abhorsive. That said, there's certainly a contingent of people who work throughout Google that thought that women are biologically inferior to men when it comes to tech positions.
And April, you have said that it was tech culture that emboldened this man enough to write something like that. What do you mean by that?
Well, there is a culture at tech companies that values free speech and that often gets valued above the moral obligation of these companies to protect the safety of their employees and of the communities that they manage online as well. And, you know, we see people on Twitter getting harassed off Twitter all the time for racist and misogynistic comments. You know, likewise on Facebook, we see a disproportionate amount of African-American activists getting their posts removed from the platform. This is something that happens a lot, where the free speech of people takes precedent over the safety of the community.
What, are you saying that free speech ethic has a special character in tech companies?
It does. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that these platforms have been allowed to flourish because of a law called the Communications Decency Act that was passed in the 90s that essentially says that they're not that platforms, that tech companies are not responsible for what's posted on their platform. And this has allowed them to, you know, be safe from a lot of lawsuits and has allowed these platforms to grow, you know, in very large, quick ways and has given them the legal cover that they need to take those big investments to grow. But that culture of free speech, that these companies aren't necessarily responsible for what people say, is also permeating the workforce. And that's a community that they do have control and responsibility over.
Google's leader of diversity and inclusion, Danielle Brown, told you that this employee advanced incorrect assumptions about gender, but also that Google needs to foster inclusivity, that there needs to be space for different political views. How did you react to that?
Well, you know, it's certain that people with different political views can work alongside each other. And it's certainly possible for people with, you know, fringe conservative beliefs to say that the diversity initiatives at Google aren't working or that they're pointless. That's totally different than flat out saying, making counterfactual arguments about, you know, a woman's biological ability to get the job done. And that's quite different than making arguments that also make people feel unsafe working there. So if I was working on an engineering team at Google and I knew that some of my colleagues that I was working with agreed with this manifesto, with this man's memo, that I wasn't suited for the job because of my biology, how could I ever work alongside him, right? That sounds like a horrible place to work. So there's a difference between, you know, speaking respectfully about differences in political opinion and having a safe place for discourse that is, that you know, fosters conversation that doesn't necessarily harm people.
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying this isn't just a matter of respect, but there's a workplace problem that this guy just told a class of employees that he can't impartially judge them, which I don't know about all big tech companies, but Google employees have a peer review system.
Sure. And he should have never felt, many big tech companies do, and he really should have never felt emboldened to post this in the first place, right? The fact that he felt confident enough to share these views meant that he knew other people agreed with him, most likely. And it also means that that he knew that his speech was more protected than perhaps this, again, the safety of the people that work at the company. And this post was left up for days and was allowed to circulate and go viral. You know, another response that Google could have made would have been to take it down immediately and said that this is unacceptable and we're not going to have this.
We're talking with Slate's tech reporter April Glazer. What could he have done differently, April? This engineer called Google an ideological echo chamber where some ideas are too sacred to be discussed honestly. He called the lack of discussion extreme and authoritarian. How could he have expressed his views in a better way?
Well, if he disagreed with the diversity efforts at Google, he could have said that he thought the diversity efforts at Google were futile and that they should focus on engineering. And of course, that would have been incredibly offensive to a lot of people, but it would have been a very, very different and engendered in a completely, different tone of conversation than saying that they're futile because women are biologically inferior.
Okay.
There are ways to have political debate.
Okay. Saying that... there's a way to say that your company's diversity goals are misplaced without having that workplace problem we said about basically telling a class of people that you don't value or recognize their contributions?
Not just value and recognize their contributions, but that you believe that they're biologically inferior.
Did he say biologically inferior?
He specifically said, and I quote, "I'm simply stating that the distribution of preferences and abilities of men and women differ in part due to biological causes, and that these differences may explain why we don't see equal representation of women in tech and leadership." So if I am not capable because of my biology of taking a leadership role at Google, I consider that to be a statement of saying women are inferior.
Yeah, well, he's clearly saying that women's biology works against them in tech. It's not quite the same as judging them biologically inferior, right?
Well, that men are better suited for some things than others, it means inherently that women are less suited.
Mm-hmm. We have, as I mentioned, April, a big Google office in Seattle, a lot of other tech companies here, as you know, Amazon, Microsoft, et cetera. What do you think we ought to learn from this story? Certainly, I mean, this guy, you could have just dismissed this person, but this has gotten so much attention. What are we learning?
I think what we're learning is that, you know, that there's obviously people who agree with him that work in tech, and that this mindset, at these big tech companies that make the products that we rely on to communicate with each other, to get news and information, to participate meaningfully in a democracy and in our communities, that people who have this mindset that actually seeps often into product design, and we see that, for instance, in 2015 when Google had a photo algorithm that mislabeled Black people as gorillas, right? You know, who knows why that happened, but there has to be a question of if there was a more diverse team, would that have happened, right? And we also see, like, sure, that this type of sexism, it might spring up through, like, disrespecting colleagues or, hiring practices and things like that. I mean, sure, he might feel this way and be free to express the way he feels, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't manifest in all of these awful ways that we can't even see, right? And in all likelihood, he might point to biological causes that prevent women from being successful engineers, but he or someone with similar views might have been the variable in preventing women from actually getting those leadership roles.
Interesting. It sounds like you're saying, you know, we may think of New York is, hey, New York, you're a media center, and Hollywood, you're a center of culture, but that maybe in Silicon Valley and in Seattle, you're also talking about these kind of companies that we have in our cities have maybe an outsized role. It's not just about gadgets.
Well, sure, the design decisions that they make, mediates how we communicate with each other. And if the people who are making those design decisions, think sexist or racist things, then that can certainly seep into the product. You know, we see that likewise with Google Search. A few years ago, when you searched for three white teenagers, you saw happy, smiling kids holding sports balls. When you searched for three Black teenagers, you see mugshots. This is a product and that maybe would not have happened in a more diverse team. And Google's diversity numbers, by the way, as are many other tech companies, are abysmal. Its tech team is only 1% Black. It's been 1% Black since 2014 when it started sharing its diversity numbers, and it still is today, despite the fact that Google has been spending millions on diversity efforts. So there's a real question as to whether or not the diversity and inclusion efforts and the unconscious bias trainings, as they put it, have really been done with with a full heart hoping to fix this problem, or if there's simply an effort to kind of paper over an issue and appease, people who are complaining about diversity at the company.
We've been talking about a former Google engineer who no longer has a job, at least for now, and his 10-page rant or manifesto. And we've been talking about it with April Glazer, a tech reporter for Slate Magazine. And April, we'll link here on Twitter at KUOW. We'll send out a link to your piece at Slate. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much.